Thanks for joining me on today's Family Experience, helping your family connect in a world that's pulling families apart. My name is Chuck Higley. I'm the Executive Director of Project Patch and the host of today's Family Experience, and I am so glad to have you along with us today. You know, it's been a busy spring. I've been all over the place doing a bunch of things, but a bunch of those things haven't included too many of these podcasts or blogs, and so I apologize for that. The good thing is that I've got a lot of books, I've met a lot of interesting people, and really excited to bring you, you know, a summer full of some really, really exciting content. And so I've been learning, I've been connecting, and I've been really in a season of getting a lot of help as a parent, which is pretty awesome because I need a lot of help. And I think a lot of that help that I've been getting, I think you'll enjoy also. You know, today's podcast episode was made possible because I was working too fast, not paying enough attention, getting out ahead of my skis a little bit, if that makes any sense. And on the last podcast, for you that listened to it, I talked about QBQ, question behind the question, a John Miller teaching that he does in books and resources that really help us understand accountability. And it was just kind of an aside, and I had done it, and I wrote my show notes, and I had posted it online rather quickly. And probably within a few hours of posting it, I got an email. And the email said, when you posted that, thanks for posting it, but when you posted it, you made a mistake. You said QBA rather than QBQ. And for those of you that know how to type on a QWERTY keyboard, you know that the Q and A are pretty close to each other. And I had made the mistake of typing QBA rather than QBQ. And so this email graciously pointed out that error to me. And I don't know about you, but I feel pretty stupid when I make a mistake in public. As a author, it's one of those things that I do all the time, but it still feels stupid every time I do it. And I felt even more stupid when I read the email address, and the email came from John Miller. And so if you can picture what just happened in my brain is that I used a book resource, and the author of that book corrected me. And so I'm feeling kind of stupid. And then I'm thinking, man, I just offended this person, you know, And so I'm kind of feeling weird about it, but at the same moment I'm like, wow, you know, that's pretty cool that John actually reached out to me. And so rather than freak out at that point, I just thanked him for letting me know about the mistake. And at the same time I had said, hey, would you ever be open to being on our podcast to talk about accountability and help out the parents that are out there? And what I really meant by that is, can you help me? Because, you know, accountability starts with me and I've got so much to learn. And so John was gracious, both with the mistake and with letting me know that he could be on the podcast. It took a little while to get our schedule synced up, but I'm so glad to bring you today's podcast with John G. Miller, an amazing source of accountability and responsibility and inspiration. You know, for those that aren't familiar with John Miller, he's a crusader for personal responsibility and accountability. He's been speaking and writing about this topic since the 1980s, and you'll hear more about his perspectives on accountability, you know, as we go through this. He's done so much work around this topic, but he continues to develop more and more resources to really help people make that change. Instead of just complaining about it, he actually empowers people, gives us tools to increase it, not just railing against it. So he's the kind of person that I really love connecting with. He self-published his first book, QBQ, The Question Behind the Question. And for some of you that know the challenges of publishing, he definitely met a bunch of them and didn't let himself get stopped. He sold over 300,000 copies of that book as a self-published author, which just blows my mind. It's pretty amazing. Now he's been pulled up by publishers. He's published a lot of other books, including Outstanding, Flipping the Switch, and Parenting the QBQ Way, and quite a few other resources. I originally learned about John Miller from listening to the Dave Ramsey Show and their Entree Leadership podcast. And pretty much if you hear David speak long enough, you'll hear him bring up at some point John and the QBQ. You know, he writes that it's the best book on personal responsibility available today. This is required reading for my team. And so for me, if Dave Ramsey speaks up about something like that, it's something I paid attention to. And so I was really, as I read the QBQ the first time, I totally got why it's such a big deal in that organization. And I think it'll be a helpful resource for you too. John is an on-demand speaker. He's a consultant. He works regularly with brands that are household names that you love and trust. He and his wife, Karen, have 7 kids. Did you catch that? 7. And a bunch of pets in their home. They live in Colorado. Karen and John teamed up together to write the book, Parenting the QBQ Way. We'll talk about that a little bit more. You know, I gained so much from my time with John, and I'm just looking forward to bring it to you, and hope you're blessed by it. You know, just in getting started, accountability is one of those things that, as I've read your material, listened to some stuff that you've said, is really easy to look for in other people. As a parent, I know I'm always looking for my kids to grow in their responsibilities, their, you know, I did it rather than trying to blame it on the sister, that sort of mentality. As we get talking about accountability, why is it that it's so hard for us to look at ourselves rather than someone else?
Well, Chuck, first of all, thanks for having me on. But also, there's something about the personal accountability message, which is what we teach at QBQ Inc., that causes people to go, yeah, that's good stuff. My wife needs it. Yeah, that's good stuff. My teenager needs it. And I think it's because the human beast does not like to admit to something, you know, like, hey, I haven't been accountable lately. Hey, I'm too quick to play victim. Hey, I haven't been nice to others, but I've wanted them to be nice to me. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's just part of being a human being. We don't want to admit our mistakes. We don't want to admit our shortcomings. So it's easier to say that person over there needs more accountability, but I don't.
And it's so funny when it's in the context of what you're talking about, you know, the writing and all those kind of things, but that thought, at least for me as a parent, it's the incorrect thoughts, the IQs that you mentioned, incorrect questions, those are so natural. It's almost like a reaction that I can do without even thinking about it. What is it about incorrect questions that just seems so natural to us?
Sure. Well, let me explain what QBQ is to
your listeners.
So we don't confuse them in any way. The QBQ is the title of my original book, QBQ, the question behind the question. So QBQ stands for question behind the question. And it all started when I was selling management and leadership training back in the late 80s and early 90s for about a decade. And I would sit in these sessions, Chuck, and listen to corporate people, you know, middle managers, executives, sales folks, ask really lousy questions. And those are the questions that turned into what you just mentioned, IQs and correct questions. But questions like, why do we have to go through all this change? When is someone going to train me? Why can't my manager give me more coaching? Why don't they pay me more? When will that department do its job right? So I was listening to these questions over the years, and I thought, man, there has got to be a better question. And one day I just said, what if we asked the question behind the question? And that was about 1994, and I went out and taught this idea to a group, and they quickly shortened it to the QBQ. And that was 20 years ago, and we were off and running, and I left the training company I was with, and I went off and started speaking on personal accountability in the QBQ. And as my material got, you know, better, I honed it, I sharpened it, I deepened it, I widened it. We started coming up with a lot of IQs, or incorrect questions that people ask. And then we would teach audiences to turn them into QBQs, the question behind the question. And that's when people started saying, man, personal accountability, this is good stuff. I can use this at work and at home. And so then just recently, my wife Karen and I decided to write QBQ in a parenting format. So that's where the Parenting the QBQ Way book came from. That's the history.
And so this concept has grown. And I'm one of those people that I, when I buy a car, I don't see any of them until I buy it, and then I start seeing it everywhere. How has it been for you as you've been teaching accountability, both the lack of accountability and the need to grow accountability? My guess is that over the years, the need for it's only increased.
Well, it has. And some of us believe that our country's in deep trouble with the levels of entitlement thinking, the level of belief that the federal government, for example, is our savior. And I'm a conservative, so actually what I think is, well, wait a minute, the federal government was designed initially to protect us and build some roads, but not to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
not to be harsh on those who truly need our help, because that's what good people do. They are charitable and they help others, as you are doing with your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But the personal accountability message is in greater need today than it was 20 years ago because of what we just said. That is, the dependency on others has grown, and thus the entitlement thinking has grown. And so the what I call the I deserve mentality has grown. So more and more, we're running around this country teaching corporations, hey, you're going to hire people who come from a culture of entitlement and victim thinking, but it's your job now to retrain them.
Hmm.
And say, no, we're not going to be entitled in our company. We're going to work. We're going to work. We're going to get paid to work. And every 2 weeks, we're even. Every 2 weeks, we're going to pay you. And every 2 weeks, you're going to put in that work. And every 2 weeks, we're even. We don't owe you something beyond your pay, and you don't owe us. But we're going to work together to build a great company and not have entitlement thinking here. We're going to work. In my one of my books, which is called Outstanding, 47 Ways to Make Your Organization Exceptional, we have a whole chapter on that one subject, Chuck. It's called Work, with an exclamation point. Because I know it's retro, but work defeats victim thinking. Work defeats entitlement thinking. The opposite of work is having my hand out and saying, well, I deserve. So yes, over the past 20 years since I first created QBQ, you are dead on accurate. The need for personal accountability has only grown.
You know, and it's interesting that dependence in which you need someone else of power to come in and rescue you. We're working with at-risk teens. We're working with kids making really poor life, destructive relationship, blowing
sure.
up decisions.
Sure.
And what's interesting is a lot of them, just the natural impulse is that I need someone bigger and stronger to come in and rescue me. I need a counselor to bring me answers. You know, that sort of, if my parents mm-hmm. had just done mm-hmm. this mentality, the excuses and the desire is there, but these poor kids, the reality is no one has ever taught them some of these key things like you're talking about, like work. They haven't had to.
That's right. That's right. I did an interview yesterday with a woman here in Denver, Colorado named Angie Austin, and she has a show that is live, and we talked about that. She grew up in a dysfunctional family, some alcoholism there. I did too.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. She's in her 40s. I'm in my 50s. Somewhere along the way, we made choices that enabled us to say, I'm not going to get stuck in dysfunction junction the rest of my life. I'm going to move on. But we both have siblings, Chuck,
mm-hmm.
that are still stuck in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. They're still stuck because of the dysfunction junction that we grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fascinating question, and it's too much for this interview. But why do some people come out of a dysfunctional situation as a child and make it? And how come some never do?
Mm-hmm.
Fundamentally, it's the choices we make. It's the choices. I can choose to wallow in victim thinking and feel sorry for myself, or I can choose to say, I can't change my past, but I can let go of it. What can I do today to move forward? And that's what our QBQ message is all about.
And
it's
that's
saying,
yeah.
What can I do to help you? How can I make a difference?
And that is such a powerful transition in the mind. We talk about a thing called the poverty mindset, feeling like I never have enough. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough help. I don't have good enough teachers. I don't have, you know, and the list can go on and on and on. But at least for me, I find that when I get into the, especially as a nonprofit leader, we don't have enough donors. We don't have enough of a reach. We don't have, you know, it's so easy to get into that mind frame. And I find that when I do that, I'm stuck.
Right. It happens to all of us. And you don't have to be broke to feel that way. I mean, there are many rich people who feel they don't have enough.
And so really the QBQ is a discipline that's really forcing us to ask questions that motivate us to break out of some of that mindset.
Well, they are questions. It's a tool, the QBQ is, that truly helps me stop asking what we call the incorrect or the wrong questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why don't others do more for me? Well, that's a bad question. Here's a better one. What can I do today for myself?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of asking, why don't I get more training and teaching and coaching and learning, well, how about asking, how can I develop my own skills? And part of the answers there could be to go to that person of authority in your life, that teacher, that mentor, that coach, and say, hey, Jack, I need more.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, help. But what we're talking about is a mindset of wallowing in the pity party. You know, Chuck, have you ever had a pity party and only one guest was invited? You?
I didn't get along with that guest.
Yeah, we've all had pity parties. So we're not talking about not helping people, and we're not talking about pulling up yourself by your bootstraps, which is the old phrase, mm-hmm. which sounds harsh. We're simply saying, you know what? I have talents and gifts and skills and abilities, and I'm going to work on using them, bringing them to fruition so I can contribute. Because what's the other option? Laying on my parents' couch complaining
mm-hmm.
that, you know, nobody will give me a job? And, I think of the millennials today and the parents that tell us, oh, yeah, my 26-year-old son's still living at home. He's watching The Walking Dead reruns.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't find a job. Well, guess what? There are people out there working 3 jobs.
Yeah.
If they have to. So there's the accountable mindset and there's the victim mindset. And that's all we're teaching at QBQ, is how to get out of the victim mindset. And just so you know, there's other traps we deal with, too, like procrastination
mm-hmm.
and blame.
Mm-hmm. So here's the question along with that is that, so there's a teenager sitting in the basement, or there's a teen that doesn't want to go to school. There's, you know, as a parent, especially with teens, there's a lot of things teens don't want to do.
Right.
And, you know, I really enjoyed how in the parenting the QBQ way, there's that concept that we can't change another person.
Mm. Yep.
But as a parent, we really do want to steer our kids' behavior in the right way. How do you balance sure. the QBQ in a way that I'm helping my teen that doesn't want to be helped?
Yeah. Well, interesting question, actually, a good question. Here's the key to parenting. And my wife and I are now parenting kids, I use it loosely, that are ages 32 down to 16. We have 7 kids.
Wow.
And what we say in the Parenting the QBQ Way book, I think, is dead on. Parenting never ends, but it changes. It changes. So one minute you're building, like you've got young children, you're building them, which means you're teaching, you're coaching, you're confronting, you're giving them consequences for their choices, you're disciplining. You know, you're the boss. That's the way it should be. Children were not born to be in charge of the family.
Mm-hmm.
You're in charge. One day, it'll start to change. You know, maybe when they're 14, maybe when they're 16, maybe when they're 12, whatever. You'll start to let go a little bit. They make their own choices. They suffer their own consequences. One day, they're 18, 19, 20. They move out or they move on, whatever. And then you're starting to relate to them. So parenting changes. And here's the problem with many parents that never have a great relationship with their adult children. They don't change.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still trying to control their 25-year-old and tell the 25-year-old what to do with his life. That parent has never matured. They've never evolved. So to set the stage here, parenting never ends, but it does change. Okay, so back to your question, if you've still got a teenager in the house, the questions become, have I modeled the right behaviors? Like, they don't want to work. Well, have I complained about my job?
Mm-hmm.
They're messy. Well, am I messy? They've got slob behaviors. They never pick up anything. Well, do I run a home that's neat or full of messiness?
Mm-hmm.
So the first step for a good parent is to look at themselves. As we teach in the book, modeling is the most powerful of all teachers. Modeling is the most powerful of all teachers. So a good parent says basically this: what have I done to create this person? Because on page 3 of the book, or page 2, very early, we write, my child is a product of my parenting. And why is that so important, Chuck? Because a teenager doesn't act out overnight. They don't just one day at 13 or 15 or whatever start becoming rude, offensive,
mm-hmm.
lazy. You know, a lot of parents will go, oh, my teen, he's just acting out. No, he is what you've created. And we say in the book, if you've got a problem with your teen, you probably had a problem with your toddler.
Mm-hmm.
So here, if you hear all these messages, they're all about accountability. Instead of blame, instead of whining, instead of complaining. Okay, now that I've said all that, there are times to tell the teen, what they have to do. Make the teen. Well, how do you make someone? We don't really make someone change, but do not give them the privilege. I'm just using this as an example. Stop giving them the privilege of driving and using your gas in your car if they won't pull up their Spanish grade.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to connect their choices, their actions to consequences. And in the parenting, the 2BQ way book, we have a major theme going on, strong parenting versus weak parenting. And what I've said basically just now is the weak parent blames the child. The weak parent doesn't set consequences and boundaries. The weak parent is not in charge.
Mm-hmm.
The strong, loving parent does just the opposite of all that. So that's a very long question or answer to your question, Chuck.
Well, and I'd like to break down,
to accountability.
And what I love about that answer, and I'd like to pop into a couple things on it is, you know, so many parents are worried about modeling in the sense that my kids are going to take up all the worst of my characteristics. You know, if I pop my knuckles, my kids are going to do it, that sort of fear. But, you know, I'm so excited that my kids copy me.
Yes.
You know, because it does increase my impact on them and it adds some scariness to it. But at the same time, here's one that I was realizing earlier is if I want my girls to be respectful of their teacher, how do I demonstrate my teachability to them?
Yeah, good point.
You know, and I realize is that, you know, if I get home from church and tear down the pastor,
right,
that is, there may be one time of the week that they get to watch me with a teacher. And if I'm just, you know, how I handle that one moment really, to me, is modeling how they can respond to their teachers.
Well, yeah, you're striking a chord with me because as a professional speaker, I always have an opinion on the pastor's sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Every week, and I have to shut my mouth.
Well, and how do I disagree and still be agreeable? I mean, there's so many things that I want my girls, you know, as a life-ready kid, you know, that's going to be a great adult, taking it from Andy Andrews is, you know, that's the power of modeling. But it does increase our accountability as parents because my behavior does matter. That's fantastic. You know, you mentioned another thing is action to consequences. That loop in a lot of homes is broken, isn't it?
Mm. Well, take the three-year-old who constantly interrupts the mother while she's trying to speak to an adult, and is allowed to interrupt. So what has the child learned? I can interrupt. There's been no consequence for his interruption.
Mm-hmm.
Take a 6-year-old who can't sit still at the dinner table and keeps getting down. And the parents nag and nag, Jeremy, please get up and eat your dinner, while he twirls on the kitchen floor. Then he gets up and takes a bite, and then he jumps down again. And these are real-life examples that mm-hmm. we've seen. And the parent just keeps nagging and nagging. Well, how about this approach? You have 10 minutes to eat your dinner. If you don't eat your dinner, your next meal is breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
You won't starve your kid, trust me.
Most of
them. No. You're not going to get a bedtime snack. No, mm-hmm. this is your meal.
Yeah.
See, this is where we see in young parents, Chuck, they have confused. I don't know what's going on with the younger generation now. I know you focus on teens, but right now I'm talking about parents,
mm-hmm.
generally between 20 and 40, let's say. They have confused firmness with harshness. They don't want to be perceived as harsh, so they're not firm. That's heaven. I don't want someone to think I'm a meanie poo. Well, there's no greater parenting than to tell that 3-year-old or 4-year-old, mommy's talking, you must wait. Or to tell that 6-year-old, if you don't eat your dinner, your next meal is at breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
That's called shaping a child, training them up as they should be. But a lot of parents we find don't want to say that. Let's put it simply. Their no does not mean no,
mm-hmm.
because they don't want to be perceived as harsh. So,
the parent would be asking, like an IQ on that, why does my kid never listen to me? Or why does my kid always interrupt when I'm on the phone? Can't they see I'm on the phone?
Or does that, we see a giving up in turn. They go, oh, that's just my son.
Mm.
You know, you've heard the stuff about, let's say the child is doing something, we'll use this word here, bratty, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the mother or father will go, oh, that's my son. He's just strong-willed. Mm-hmm. No, you're letting him engage in bratty behavior. You know, mm-hmm. Bill Hybels, the quite famous pastor out of Chicago,
yeah.
25 years ago had an audio tape, and my wife and I have always remembered it. He was at a dinner party where the kid was throwing a tantrum, and the mother finally turned to the dinner party adults and said, "He's tired." And Bill thought, "No, he's a brat." And here we are 25 years later, long after Dr. Dobson did his teaching at Focus on the Family, and we've still got parents that are running households where the child is in charge. Hey, parents, you are the boss.
Yeah. Well, and the power of that is that if you say he's tired, I can't. Well, I mean, you can take them for the nap, but we're assigning things that are out of our control that we can't do. It's right. A personality type, you know. That's just my kid.
It's innate. Can't change him. I mean, I can't change his behavior because, you know, he's just strong-willed.
I can't influence it, and so really the power of that pause for the parent to really get in the discipline of saying, how can I teach my kid to be respectful in public? You know, what can I do to show them that, you know, those sorts of questions will really take it away from that point of this is just the kid, this is an innate, unchangeable thing, to the point that you can help them. You know, I fly quite a bit, and I fly mm-hmm. with my girls quite a bit. And what we mm-hmm. noticed as a family early on is as soon as you feel the plane starting to go down, you know, a little snack really helps at that point. I mean, it makes it so they're not in pain on the way down. I mean, it changes yep. everything. And so when I listen to parents really mad at their kids, you know, as the plane lands because their kid won't be quiet and their kid's fussing, I think, you know, maybe that parent, yeah. if they could have said, instead of "my kid's a horrible flyer," said.
Yeah. Well, we open up with in the parenting book with a story about on the airplane where, you know, the parents basically threatened the kid with no Christmas because of his bad behavior. Well, wait a minute, mom and dad, you're allowing the bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's all the parenting stuff comes down to accountability. Again, at some point you let go. Like, I've got a 27-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a choice here, there, or there. I'm not responsible anymore for that. But before I accuse him of, you know, "Mike, why do you have to be a wise guy?" I better say, wait a minute. Did he learn that sense of humor from his dad? Because he did. I see many characteristics in my son that come straight from his father named John Miller.
That's encouraging and scary, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So as a parent, we've got parents listening. There's some that are on the side of taking responsibility for things that are not even theirs. You know, so they're taking responsibility for their kids where the kids need to be given that. So that concept that you talked about from, you know, earlier on is that I'm building, I'm teaching, I'm coaching, I'm confronting, I'm giving them consequences and discipline. And so there's a group of parents that have been listening today that maybe that's their focus. You know, their takeaway is that I've been saving my kid from consequences. And
right.
Maybe there's,
it's called enabling.
Yeah, enabling them. And maybe there's some parents, you know, on the other side, the relating side is that they've been so busy taking responsibility for their kid, or maybe just not at that point of helping their kids launch, you know, so they haven't transitioned to the relating. They've been so busy building that they're attempting to be frozen in time. Can you give us an encouragement for parents out there? You know, what is possible if they take the time, take the discipline, teach the QBQ to themselves as well as their kids? What's possible when that happens?
Well, there's a couple questions in there, but let me try to sum up with the greatest takeaway. And you already mentioned it early in this interview. The greatest takeaway from our material is that can only change me. So if I'm frustrated as a parent, if I yell a lot, if I feel anger, instead of lashing out at my husband or my wife for not being a good parent or my teen for not listening to me, take that personal accountability message that we teach in Parenting the QBQ Way and just look hard at yourself. That does not mean that you don't end up confronting or consequencing your child.
Mm-hmm.
It does mean I've moved into a new area. You know what? I'm accountable. My child is a product of the way I've parented him or her. What can I do to learn new skills? See, I think that's right there what I just said is a key. too often we think parenting is just something we're born to do. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, Chuck, there's a lot of parents out there winging it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're reaching out on Facebook for ideas, so you end up with the blind leading the blind. Sorry. There are ways to learn new parenting skills. There are classes, there are books, there are seminars, there are mentors and coaches and counselors, all kinds of things you can do to learn good parenting strategy. But I think some people are just winging it because, you know, they don't even know that parenting's a learned skill. But let me give you an example as we begin to close here. Here's a lousy question. Why doesn't my spouse help me out more? Well, here's the QBQ. How can I better communicate my needs? Why does my child seem to lack drive and ambition? What can I do to teach the value of work? When will he change? What can I do to change me? Why is my toddler so difficult? How can I acquire strong and new parenting practices? So you can feel the focus. The focus is shifting away from lashing out, playing victim, pointing fingers, or procrastinating, putting stuff off, and saying, wait a minute, what can I do to be a better parent of my child, no matter, regardless of their age? If I have a 25-year-old that I need to relate to, ask that question. Am I relating to him, or am I still trying to build him? Because the more I try to tell him to be a physician, because even though he wants to be a musician, or I try to tell him what I think he should do with his life, the faster I'm going to destroy the relationship.
Yeah.
So again, long speech here, but it all comes back to personal accountability, mom and dad looking in the mirror.
You know, that is, it's been such an encouragement to talk to you today, because the power of a parent that is active, learning, taking accountability themselves, that modeling, you know, then that's where we started even this morning. That modeling is power. And if our kids have that ability, can you imagine, you know, we talked about how dark the future could be as far as personal accountability, but can you imagine how many opportunities those kids will have in the future because of that skill set?
Absolutely. Personal accountability is the foundation of everything we do and become in life. Years ago, when I was first starting out as a speaker, I was told I couldn't go out and talk about personal accountability because it wasn't a topic.
Mm-hmm.
Like customer service and leadership and team building. And I said, well, you're right. It's not a topic. It's a foundational principle that touches every area of my life. 20 years later, I made a career out of teaching one thing, personal accountability. And by the way, just so your listeners know, Chuck, it applies to me.
Mm. Yeah, you can't get away from it, can you?
I'm a father of 7, a grandfather of 4 with 2 on the way. I've been married 35 years. There's all kinds of personal accountability issues going on in my life, okay?
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. John, you have been gracious for your time with us. For people that really, you know, what we've done is we've just whetted an appetite. We've
sure.
given enough that people maybe are saying, you know, how do I take this to the next level? What do you recommend as far as people getting involved with the stuff that you've done? Where should they start?
Sure. Sorry, Chuck. It's so simple nowadays. Just come to QBQ.com. That's question and question. QBQ, 3 letters. QBQ.com, Chuck, and you can spring from there off to Facebook, to LinkedIn, to Twitter. You can buy books from us, or you can go over to Amazon and use your Prime account and get books there, Barnes & Noble, whatever. QBQ.com, that's where it all starts.
And one of the things I just want to say, just for there's some parents out there that are saying, you know, I don't have time to read big, long books. QBQ, how long does it take an average person to go through that?
It used to be an hour. Then we rewrote it and added some FAQs in the back. So I'd say now it's a whopping hour and 10 minutes.
Okay. You know, and I did the Audible version of the parenting the QBQ way. It was great to hear both you and Karen participating in that. And it's such an easy way of getting some really good information for as a parent. And it's not going to take you days. It's just going to take you hours.
Well, good to hear that, because Karen and I just recorded that recently. So you were one of the first to get it. Yeah, the parenting QBQ way. It's on audio.
It's on, and I downloaded it from Audible. You know, there's so many resources, and I'm just encouraged. I hope the parents listening today have been encouraged, and we'll send them on to QBQ.com and really encourage people to get connected there. John, thank you so much
Great.
For your time.
Chuck, I was glad to be on. Thank you.
Appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed that interview. I certainly did. It was amazing how fast the time rushed by, and I really appreciated him being gracious with his time. You know, there's so much that we can be shared from that, so much that really stuck out to me. You know, two things that really in my line of work, they're working with the kids at Patch and the parents, is really the danger of dependency and entitlement. You know, when we get to the point that we believe that we need someone stronger to rescue us, or that we deserve something, you know, those are really danger points when it comes to us actually doing the things it takes for us to move forward. And so fantastic understanding those dangers better. But even more than that, what I really appreciated was hearing the power of modeling, that I can make an impact on those around me by modeling. And really the specifics of how to do it is the QBQ, you know, really asking those questions that increase my action, increase my understanding of the situation. And so really, really found that as a valuable time. And I hope you did also. You know, if you've got some things that really stood out, love for you to connect with us on the blog and share those things that were really helpful for you. We'd love to hear from you. As we wrap up this episode, I'd like to remind you of a few things and ask for a couple of favors. First of all, you can find all the show notes for this episode, the resources we spoke about, some different things that we think would be helpful around this topic of accountability. You can find that at today.thefamilyexperience.org and look for the episode called John G. Miller, The Power of Accountability. The other thing is I'd like you to go to John's website, qbq.com. It's a great resource for everything having to do with QBQ, as well as a bunch of other things that he's writing. Realizing that he's got the parenting books, he's got business books, and I think you'll be encouraged as you look over those things. Finally, could you do us a favor? You know, realizing that a lot of you are new to this podcast, and we know that there's a lot of other people that would benefit from it. And so if you could share it, if you could go leave a review on iTunes, it would really help us increase our visibility. You know, once again, thanks, John, for joining us. Thank you for taking the time to focus on being the parent your kids need. You know, it's not easy out there. There's a lot of excuses we could make. But today, what are you going to do to help your kids? What are you going to do to connect with your family? We can help at thefamilyexperience.org.